And we're back. I think we're back. Lloyd, we're back. Who's got the power? Now, when we look at life in general, and I mean, we're obviously talking about a connection to something higher. Who's got the power? Now, Lloyd and I spoke a little bit about this, and I spent a lot of time talking about this to almost everybody is, you know, who's got the power and how much and what am I left with? You know, that seems to be something that's a real controversial. I'll tell you the main reason is because we believe in the realm of this faith, or my faith anyway, that, you know, there's definitely something higher, but we have free will. We're told, and, you know, in the Bible and many, many places that we've been designed and made with this free will. So we have free will, right?
Yeah.
We get to make decisions and choices and so on. But if there's something greater than us, which of course there is, there had to be a gain with the faith rather than evolution. If we believe in a creative basis, if we believe in a creative basis, then we believe in some sort of creator. And how much power does that creator have? Even though we have the ability to make decisions and choose, does that higher power, does that God not know exactly what we're going to do? And does that take anything away from our power? What do you think when you hear that? Does it take anything away from, you know, the way you think? Does it, the fact that even though God tells us we can make choices, in order for him to really be this God who sees the beginning, the end, and everything in between, he obviously, when he designed the whole deal, had to design every piece of it. So, in other words, not only does he know what you're going to do, it's like, you know, that's your script, you know, and somebody had to write the script, and it wasn't me, and it wasn't you, even though we're given this sense of, you know, having this free will as time goes along, which we do. We do have it. There's no question. But what happens as a result, we don't know. And I believe, that's how I believe anyway, that God, however you see that God, does know that stuff. You know, is that, what's your sense on that? I mean, you know, you have some, you know, and we all sort of want, you know, we talk about at least leaving a legacy, or you talk about giving back all the time and so on. And I believe totally in that. I think we have to keep going at that no matter how we believe. But the fact that you, seemingly, if you believe like I do, were designed to be doing that, you know, everything that led up to where you are and where you're going to go with it is part of what makes you who you are. And ultimately, whatever you leave behind, that'll, you know, now, the legacy part, as you people know, more for me, it's more my son's legacy than my own. So anything I work on is to his legacy, yet I get the honor of working on it with my sense of working with God and so on. And that's enough for me. But when I first kind of figured this out in my own head, I was always saying, well, if, you know, if God designed it and knows everything, like, what do I have to do? You know, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
And with that, I thought, well, you know what, though? It's like as though if I were the higher power for an ant colony with 100 billion ants in it, we'll say, you know, it's a bit of an exaggeration, but, you know, and I made all the little grooves in the ground and everything and put the queen in a certain place and all this, I would know exactly ahead of time where every one of these little guys was going to go. You know, these worker guys were going to go there, those other guys were going to go there, the queens were going to separate and so on. And I'd be able to look, they didn't know where the road goes next, but I know, you know. And so in a much bigger, greater sense, I think God even, you know, can kind of look down at all of us and see exactly where we're going and what we're doing. And he knows we're on track. I don't know, it's like a game to him or her or something anyway. But what's your take on that? Does it take anything away?
Well, the key word that you said there was listening. And, you know, growing up, I always say to myself that, you know, one of the greatest gifts that God gave to us gave to man was a gift of listening. And, you know, I always feel that every time I get in trouble, I didn't really listen. Because, you know, they say that we hear two voices, and the first voice is really God speaking, and the second voice is the one that we listen to, and that's what strays us away.
Oh,
and, you know, I think that's what happened to me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I learned to listen after, you know, getting in trouble and going through what I went through. And when I started listening and realizing that, you know, that's not what was set forth for me, I started coming to light, you know, sort of thing.
So you were able to, as long as you listened, and in the case we're talking about, that would mean listening to your sense of God, I guess.
Yeah.
You know, going, acting on that rather than, as you said, listening, waiting for another another voice to come in and say, well, you know, you don't really have to do that. You know how people talk about evil and devil and so on like that, demons and, you know, always sitting on your shoulder, or you have a great meeting somewhere and our friend at the meeting always says, and guess who's out in the parking lot doing push-ups, you know?
Yeah, because like when I was speaking about walking out of the hotel room and moving forward, you know, I was saying to myself, you know, am I going to have fun still in recovery?
Yeah.
Because, you know, everything I did revolved around using.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I actually started listening and realizing that, you know, there is, I could still have fun in recovery.
Yeah.
And I don't have to use to have fun.
Yeah.
So listening is the key word you just said.
Key for you. So when you listen and you hear and you act, you know, which is kind of like the last step in our program, taking action when we realize, you know, something's astray or we don't understand something, we do something about it right away, and then we don't collect garbage or collect baggage that we're going to have to deal with later, and we're not going to collect baggage that everything that comes at us will have to be processed through in order to come out. So, you know, I think the less baggage we have, the more pure we function in every sense. Our computer, if you will, becomes, you know, more and more efficient and has less and less stuff to process through, which we all know from phones and computers today that the more we use them, the more stuff we put in there, the more slow they get. And, you know, our brains, I don't think, are much different, you know. And even if we're really brainy and got all kinds of great cognitive skills, if we overuse parts of that, I think we get in trouble, just like our bodies. You know, we like to exercise, but if we overdo one, that elbow, that knee, that something breaks down, and first thing you know, we're operating in deficit. So when you think of your life as, or do you think of your life as being pre-planned by God?
Yes, I do think of my life as being pre-planned by God. And I think that, you know, the plan is manifesting now. You know, by me seeing the light and trying to teach others now. I'm going into the jail and giving back in that sense. And yeah, I think that things are coming around.
That's
like good. Like they were supposed to, you know?
Well, actually, that's how I believe. I mean, like, I've challenged people lately, and I've said, did you know that you can never make a mistake? You know, and that's a, that's a pretty glaring comment. But then when you go through all that we just talked about and say, well, you know, if predestination, I guess some people would call it, if you believe that the architect, the grand architect, God Almighty, the creator, or whatever you believe that to be, has put it all together, then every little piece that you do, you don't even have any choice, really. You know, you think you do. We always think we do, but that great Almighty Creator knows exactly what we're going to do, because if he doesn't, he wouldn't know what the next thing is, and the next thing is, and the next thing is, and the next thing is. So, you know, he does. I mean, or she does, or whatever it is. The Creator knows what he created. And a part-time creator for me doesn't work. You know, a creator that creates a few things and leaves some voids for us to come and fill in. And I think that's how most people believe it, that with this free will, it's really like God sort of, you know, took something, wound it up and let it go.
Yeah.
And didn't have a clue what I was going to do. Well, I don't, you know, it's too grand for that. I mean, if you look at the structure of man, you go down to the cell and beyond and into that and do some analysis, and you know, you can really make the whole man from the cell, and you can in essence make the world from any cell, and it just it's too much. It's like the looking up in the sky and having a favorite star in each galaxy or something. You know, you just can't even fathom how you would find it. So it's fascinating, but it's securing for me, and I sort of like that. Then I never really feel alone, you know? Like,
yeah.
I don't know if that's how it works for you, but it's like, it's really like, wow, somehow the gift for doing this is that sense that not only people tell me, ah, well, it's because you believe and you carry the Holy Spirit, it's because somehow you feel like that all the time, you know, and you don't feel alone, and that's powerful for me as a loner, you know? Like you said before, on the way here, Lloyd, you were saying, like you were the life of the party when you were partying. You
know, yeah, sort of, yeah. You know,
so and even in rehab, really, in recovery, where you get 28 guys or that you were recovering with or going through treatment with, and you could, you know, and even in that, I mean, you can, you know, there's happy, sad, and in between and everything, you're able to, you know, play a part up at the higher end and the happier end, even in that. And then you get to where you got to go out and work on your own and your own life and your life of the people you live with, your family, your wife, your girlfriend, whatever it happens to be. And, you know, and it's different, you know, especially what you were saying, like, you know, you retired young because you did your time, you know,
yeah.
And not that other time you did the time you needed to do your 35 or whatever it was years. And, you know, and you're awarded in a way, yet like you're saying, you're kind of awarded with an ability to live financially, that is, but you're often alone and you got to find things to fill that void, you know. And that
media platform, I'm starting to put a post out there where I think that I'm starting to feel like the person I should have been years ago. Coming around now.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's kind of good, because people who hang in see that stuff, especially in the social media world.
Like, yeah.
You can see after a while how people are changing, you know, if you watch that stuff close enough. And, you know, we go from an eye-centered human being to a little more caring, then a lot more caring.
Yeah.
And then really caring and really putting the other guy first. And that's where it begins.
Well, even if I can't see the changes, I mean, people tell me all the time,
yeah,
that, you know, they could see the changes in me, and
yep,
and you know, the way I sound, the way I look,
yep,
and, that's gratifying.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you've come a long way, and hang on to that while we take a break, pay one or two more bills, and then we'll be back in probably about a minute, minute and a half. So, see you soon.